Right now, it is time to check in on Orange County government. We're joined on the phone by the chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners, Penny Rich. Commissioner, thank you so much for being with us today, and how are you?
Oh, thank you, Aaron. I am doing okay. I mean, you know, day one of 30, plus the 2 weeks before that we were all sort of home. You know, trying to hang in there, trying to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know it's certainly a difficult thing just in any circumstance. And especially since this is a new thing for all of us. We're all doing this for the first time, and we've been through pandemics before, like as a species, but it's been a very long time, and we're all doing it like individually for the first time. So what are you doing to manage? What are you doing to cope?
That's so funny. So, you know, actually, it's very busy for me. I am in constant contact with the mayors. I've been talking to our legislators. Had a meeting with Congressman Price yesterday. So the days are surprisingly busy, and lots of Zoom meetings. We all should have bought stock in Zoom last month. And you know, we're starting to learn how to navigate meetings through these sort of virtual meeting rooms, and we also have discovered that, you know, some of these meetings could be a couple of emails back and forth, and we get it done. You know, I just want to thank everyone that is still working, all of the county staff and the town staff, and you know, y'all are just like doing a great job in keeping Orange County running. And I can't thank everybody enough. It's just amazing how everyone is pitching in.
I'm curious about this, and I haven't really asked anyone, but it's an interesting question that, I mean, obviously we're not going to know right now, but we'll find out soon enough. What do you think is going to change permanently when all of this is done? Like most of the changes that we're making right now, as soon as we get the chance, we're going to revert right back to the way it was, like 99%. But there are going to be some permanent changes. What do you think some of them are going to be?
Yeah, that's a great question, Aaron. The mayors and I were actually talking about that at the end of our meeting today. We were being hopeful in that, you know, a month and a half, we can start getting back to what we consider normal. But how do you gradually get back into that, right? Because you can't all of a sudden, like, burst open and everything is, you know, we want to make sure that we get the curve under control. We keep the curve under control. So we would have to slowly integrate that life as normal back in again. I think things that might change is that we will find that we actually don't need to meet so much, mm-hmm. that we can actually do things over a phone, or, you know, if people don't need to leave their office and they can call in and be part of a meeting, that would be okay too. It's interesting. I think there are other things that are going to happen in, like, the service industry. I think a lot of folks are getting used to, for example, their food being delivered. Mm-hmm. Maybe that sticks around for a while. Personally, I am not a big fan of that, as you might know, because being a personal chef and someone that is involved in the whole process of purchasing food, I just love picking out my own food. I mean, especially fruits and vegetables. I don't want anyone to do that for me. I take that as a very personal and an emotional job. So I don't want that taken away from me. But I think we'll see stuff like that. You know, I think it'll be interesting. I do think as soon as people can get out, though, they are going to go back to the restaurants. And, you know, the restaurants that are going to be able to hang in there and not go out of business are going to be cooking again, because it's you know, that's the way that we live. That is one of these American cultures that we absolutely love going out to eat. So I think that's going to be like the first thing where people are going to let's go do it. But I think the way that we conduct business, you know, for example, my son and I were on our 4-mile walk through campus. We were talking about how education is now going to change. He's doing all his classes remotely because he's in a global health program through GW. So he, you know, people in his classes are all over the world. They're not in Washington, D.C. or North Carolina. And I think the way that we deliver education to folks might change a bit. I think online, people are going to find that they can take online classes and learn. So I think we're going to see a little bit more of that. I think that's the biggest thing that we might see.
speaking with
What do you think?
I agree with you on meetings. I think a lot more people are going to find that they can work from home and attend meetings remotely and do all of that. We'll see about online classes, because I'm teaching my Durham Tech class online now, and it's, you know, we're just kind of starting to get the ball rolling, and we're all kind of figuring it out. The thing with online classes is just, it's really, really cool, and there are so many opportunities and just things that I'm learning about what you can do with an online class that you would never be able to do in a classroom. Like, the opportunities and the technology is there to do some really awesome stuff, but everyone's got to be extra committed to it. There's no set time when you have to be sitting in this particular place and focused 100% on the class. You're setting your own schedule, and that's true of the professor and the student. So everyone's got to be extra committed, extra focused, and they've really got to be on the ball. And if the class is like that, then great. And if not, then it can kind of go downhill fast. But I think I hope that people realize what's possible and what's needed in order for an online class to work, because that second part is just as important as the first.
Yeah. I also think that, you know, something that's coming good that's coming out of this is that we use technology at a very, like, low percentage. And we're all learning that we got to start using this technology at, like, you know, 85-90%. And, you know, before we're using it at 50-60, you know, and maybe we'll get tired, let me just call someone. But you know, when we're staying home and we don't have an opportunity to, like, for example, I was watching the Carrboro Town Council meeting last night. That was virtual, and, you know, you had to really be part of that technology to, if you wanted to, you know, to clock in and say anything or do anything. So we're all learning a little bit more about that as well. So, you know, it's always time to learn, right, Aaron?
Absolutely.
I mean, we got plenty of time. Yeah.
And I think another thing that I don't know if this is actually going to happen, but I really, really hope it does. And this is something that should have always been the case, and now we're really seeing how important. Not just, you know, we were talking about restaurants and all of the people who work for those restaurants, but also all of the people who work for the grocery stores, all of the people who work in farms and in agriculture, like all of these occupations that don't have a lot of prestige or money attached to them that we don't think of as being like, oh, fantastic jobs, and a lot of people don't mind if they're low paying jobs, and then all of a sudden something like this happens and we realize just how vital all of those jobs are and just how important all of the people are who are going to work every day and filling those jobs. I hope we remember that when this is over.
Oh, well, I hope so too. I mean, I think they are rock stars, and every time we talk about $15 minimum wage and people fight against it, I think they're going to have to go back and remember this, because I mean, these folks are, like, not making a whole lot of money. They're risking their lives, especially the grocery store workers, what you just said. And we have this policy group that we meet with on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and it's everybody in the county, the mayors, the managers, the emergency services, you know, the health department, the sheriffs, the police, the fire. And, you know, we're talking about how we can help folks that are in grocery stores or going to Lowe's or going to places where that social distancing that we're asking people to do is not taking place. And you're not going to have your minimum wage employee at Harris Teeter's say, hey, you know, back up. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to do it, but they're the ones that are risking their lives. Yet people are walking around and not observing that 6 foot. So, you know, I think when this is all over, I really hope that we do a little soul searching and figure out how to make sure that we're paying people what they deserve. And, you know, that $15 minimum wage absolutely has to go through. Yeah.
Speaking with County Commissioner Penny Rich again, orangecountync.gov for more information on county government, and getting into county government, what should people know about what's going on behind the scenes? Any initiatives or programs or changes that are being made that people ought to know about?
So we actually are going to have a meeting on, we're going to keep on meeting schedule. So anyone out there that thinks that, you know, that we're changing anything, we're not. We're just going to be meeting online on Zoom, and we are going to have the ability to have public comment. People are going to have to sign up before for public comment, so we can get them the password to get into the meeting. And we'll explain all that when the agenda hits on Thursday or Friday of this week. It'll be on the back page of the layout of the agenda. So everyone, there will be an email address. If you want to speak, you're going to email the clerk. And it's just kind of like the sign-up sheet in the back of the room that we have, except this time you're just going to be doing it with the clerk. So hopefully people will get the swing of that and you know, log in and talk with us. Not too much on the agenda. We're trying to keep it pretty, you know, so we can move quickly through it at a virtual meeting. But also we normally don't have a whole lot on the agenda this time of the year anyway because we're going into the budget season. So, you know, we have a few proclamations that we're going to hold off on because we want to make sure that those people can come in person to get that. We're going to be talking on the regular agenda. We'll be talking about the climate action tax recommendations for the solar panels on the schools. We are going to have to postpone one of our UDO text amendments, even though we set it for the 7th because it was a public hearing. We're going to have to postpone that. So we have to bring it up and then vote on that. And then the biggest part of the 7th meeting is the manager is going to do a 30,000-foot, you know, overview of what our CIP capital investment plan is going to be 2019 through 2024. And I can tell you that it's probably going to be very flat. You know, 2020-2021 budget is, you know, we are going to have to take a step back and hold up on some of the projects that we wanted to do and also some of the spending. So that's pretty much on there, regular consent agenda, nothing too exciting. But, you know, yeah, I mean, pay attention to the agenda when it hits on Thursday and Friday so anyone that wants to speak can contact us.
So stay tuned for that. That's coming later this week, orangecountync.gov for more information. And when the agenda comes, you'll see it there. Obviously, today is Census Day, and the county and towns have been really getting the word out in really the last couple of months, and especially in the last couple of weeks. In spite of the fact that everyone's thinking about and making changes based on coronavirus, the census is still going on, and it's still just as important as it ever was. So thoughts about that or advice for people who haven't filled it out?
Yeah, yeah, we took a look at the map but to see where folks have already responded. And, you know, let's see if you can figure this out. Where do you think the most people responded in Orange County and the less, the least?
I was talking with Renee Price about this a little bit yesterday, and I don't know if it's changed, but she was saying rural Orange County, like northern and far western Orange County, is where the fewest people have responded or the lowest percentage. And I assume that means the highest percentage is going to be in the towns, right? In Chapel Hill and Carrboro and Hillsboro. Yeah.
Yeah, well, the map today actually shows a little bit different. It shows that the northern, northwestern parts of the county actually, you know, started responding.
Okay.
And so their light orange is turning to dark orange, which is really kind of cool. The least amount of people responding are portions of Chapel Hill. And, you know, we can't quite figure it out. One of the lighter oranges is on campus. So that might have to do with the fact that we really don't have any students on campus right now. And even though the university has to fill out for the students that live on campus, the students that normally live in the houses around campus aren't here.
Right.
So they may not be responding as present in Chapel Hill. But there's also a section looking at the map, that's right around the Rogers Road in the Eubank area in Chapel Hill. The Carrboro side is doing okay. The Chapel Hill side is not. So we've reached out to Chapel Hill to see if they can talk to those folks and make sure that they can do some outreach. You know, originally we had people being able to come over to Rena and use our computer system, but we don't do that. We can't do that now because we're in lockdown. So there's got to be other ways that we can try and encourage folks to maybe, you know, either get online or have someone help them out with it. Yeah.
Again, speaking with County Commissioner Penny Rich, and we got to wrap up. But before we do, one of the really exciting and cool things that's come out of the local response to coronavirus has just been the efforts that so many people have made to step up to help people in need. And one of the things that we've seen recently is just the sheer number of donations that have been coming in for healthcare facilities and hospitals. UNC Health put out the call for personal protective equipment, and a lot of different organizations have come in on that. Topo Distillery and Durham Distillery, one town over, have converted all of their operations to making hand sanitizer and things like that. What is your thought about the way that the community has stepped up?
Yeah, it's pretty. It really is pretty impressive, I have to say. And you know, you were right about the PPE equipment. We are putting out requests all over the place. And you know, folks that have had to close down that may have some equipment, they are stepping up to the plate. It's amazing. We talked a little bit about the food, donations, and that's been quite impressive as well. Although we're looking at maybe in about 2 weeks or so, we might find ourselves in a little bit of a crisis. So we're kind of trying to work that out because of the regular deliveries that normally come in to the restaurants and grocery stores. And then, you know, that what's left over goes into the food banks. Well, if we don't have that flow, we don't have that kind of food going into the food banks. So we're a little bit concerned about that, and we'll be looking at that. I also want to, you know, everybody that's donating or spending time, donating their time or money, buying gift cards for restaurants, all of this is just pretty amazing. And I just want to point out the Orange County Arts Support Fund. And if you're feeling like you have a couple of extra bucks, so go ahead and log on to the Orange County website, and you'll see the Orange County Arts Support Fund. And this is a fund that's to help our local artists. You know, we sometimes forget that when we're stuck in a house, what are we doing? We're watching, we're listening to music, we're drawing, we're doing things that we normally wouldn't do. But this is part of the arts, and our arts community is suffering just like everybody else. So if you have a couple of extra bucks you want to put to a good cause, I would do it at the Orange County Arts Commission. Be great.
And again, artsorange.org/support fund for more on that. You can go straight there and donate and get more information on county government online at orangecountync.gov. Penny Rich, as always, thank you so much.
All right, Aaron. Talk to you soon. Awesome.